Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
The word resolution means a firm decision to do or not to do something. Now, I know that at this time of year, many people make resolutions. Some of you have made a resolution that you will not make any resolutions. Some have succeeded in last year's resolutions, and many, many, many more have failed. 2019 is almost gone. For some of you, you're ready for it to be over. And I understand that. For others, you're sad to see it go. It's been a really good year for you. For all of us, it's coming to an end. There's nothing we can do. We can't stop the hands of time. 2020 is right around the corner. I asked my grandmother, who was born in the 1920s, I said, "Grandma, are you ready to see the roaring 20s come back?" Here we are in the cusp of a new decade, a new year. You know, this coming Tuesday will be the last Tuesday of the week, the last Tuesday of the month, the last Tuesday of the year, and the last Tuesday of the decade. Here we are. I was thinking about this. For Blanche Collins, Bonnie Armstrong's mother, she's 100, almost 102. This is her 12th decade. My grandmother, and some of you ladies in here, this is your 11th decade coming up. For me, it's my 6th decade. That makes me sound really old. I'm not nearly that old. For a couple of weeks now, I've had this passage of Scripture on my brain, my thoughts. Several years ago, this would have been the verse that if I signed someone's Bible, these are the verses that I would have put down. Philippians chapter 3, look at verses 13 and 14. You probably know it well, but the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this passage of Scripture. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Here we have Paul saying some really important and good things. So for a few minutes this morning, I want to look at Paul's resolution. Now, whether Paul was writing this passage of Scripture at the beginning of a new year or not, I don't know. But certainly, there is some resolution here. He is certainly, definitely resolved about some things. And I want us also to focus on Paul's New Year's resolution, or I want you to focus on some of the things that you and I might need to be resolved in. Okay? Let's pray. Let's go to the Lord, ask Him for guidance and direction as we continue this message. Father, you know I need you. There is nothing that I can do in and of myself. The abilities that you have given me, they're just human. But to preach your word, it's divine. And so I'm asking you to help me. And if there's another way of saying it, you don't need help, but I want to help you. I just want to be a vessel. I want you to use my lips and my tongue to say what you want to be said. I want my words to be your words. I want my thoughts to be your thoughts. I want my ways to be your ways. Now, Father, I'm asking you to help. We invite the Holy Spirit here. We resist the devil, and because we resist the devil in your son Jesus' name, he must flee. Father, we want to loose from the devil's grip those minds and hearts this morning that believe they're saved or deceived about their salvation. I want you, dear Father, in the name of Jesus, to release them, loose them from the bind of the devil. Father, I want you to bind the devil up that he's not welcomed here. He's not welcome to interfere. He's not welcome in this place. This is your place. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will dwell with us, fill us, use us. For that soul that may not know you as their Savior, may they trust you this morning. We love you. You're such a wonderful Savior. I pray that you'll bless the remainder of this service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The first thing that I want us to see about this passage of Scripture is I want us to see that Paul was addressing a certain group of people. The very first word is brethren. I want us to see the address. I want us to see that Paul is addressing the brethren. Now, it isn't just men that he's addressing, but it's believers. 2019 has come, and by this Wednesday, we'll be gone forever. Are you a brethren? Are you a sister in Christ? Are you a believer? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? We now have heard two testimonies. One last Sunday, Rick Rickovich. One this Sunday, David Smith. We've heard two testimonies of how they have come to church for a long time, sat under the preaching of my father and myself, have heard countless evangelists and missionaries speak, and both just recently came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that they were lost. When Dave called me Thursday night, I told my wife, I prayed with Dave, and I got off the phone, and I told my wife, I said, Dave Smith trusted Jesus Christ to be a Savior. She goes, really? Now, Dave, if you don't know, but Dave's helped us in our Christmas program. Dave's faithful to drive a van for us. He drives the van probably as much, if not more, than anybody else. He's faithful to serve where he can. But last Thursday, Dave came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that he was lost. He didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. My wife brought to my attention, she said, do you remember when we brought in Otto Koning just a couple of weeks ago, really, the beginning of December? She goes, you remember how he preached, and then at the end of the service, we prayed that God would loose people from the grips of the devil. You know, the devil's here to blind you. The devil does not want you. If you're lost, the devil does not want you to be saved. And so he blinds you. Another parable, the Lord talked about how the seed was taken away by different things. The seed was planted and different things took it away. And the devil wants to take that seed of conviction out of your life if you're lost. And so we prayed then on December the 1st, we asked God to remove the blinders from those that might be deceived, that think they're saved, that have gone through the motions, that have gone through the actions, that have lived in church all their life and from a child have grown up in this kind of atmosphere, sat under the preaching of God's word, and yet they have hardened their hearts to God. And we ask the Holy Spirit to remove blinders. And since that day, we've asked the Holy Spirit to remove the devil's binding, and two men that have been faithful to church for years realized that they were lost. That's not an accident. You know, you and I have the ability, you and I have the power to resist the devil. Here's what the Bible says: resist the devil and he will flee from you. He has no option but to flee when you resist. How do you resist him? Well, you resist him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, you are not welcomed here. In the name of Jesus, you must flee. We are not allowing you to be a part of this church, this service, this family, this home, or this life. And you have the power to do that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. And if you aren't saved, you have the power to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to him. He will in no wise cast you out. He will save you from your sin. He'll remove the blinder. I pray that right now, sitting where you're sitting, you ask God, dear God, if the devil has blinded me, please remove the blinders. I want to know. Do you know that you know that you know that you know where you're going when you go? You need to. I want you to see that not only Paul was addressing the brethren, I want you to be a brethren. The most important decision a person can make is accepting the free gift of salvation. Jesus is that free gift. No, he wasn't wrapped under a tree, but he was wrapped up in swaddling clothes to be wrapped up in grave clothes. And just like he got out of the manger, he got out of the grave. And I want you to know that Jesus saves. Jesus is that free gift. If you believe that and you act upon that belief and accept him to be your Savior, he will save you. Free gift, receive him. You're not looking for a feeling. You're not looking for a sign. You are taking God at his word. You are saying to God, I believe. That settles it. We see that Paul was addressing. Now I want you to see the acknowledgement. I want you to see the acknowledgement. Paul was acknowledging some things in this passage of Scripture. The first thing that he was doing, he was addressing. He was addressing brethren. Are you a brother and sister in Christ? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? But I secondly want you to see, I want you to see his acknowledgement. Here we have some truth and somewhat comforting words. The Apostle Paul is telling us that he hasn't gotten this stuff down pat either. What are we talking about? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That means I have not mastered this myself. I don't believe that I have arrived either. I want you to know that if the Apostle Paul hasn't arrived, you haven't either. I take great comfort in knowing that. Because I know I haven't arrived. And when I look at somebody and I say, boy, it looks like they have arrived, I take great comfort in knowing they haven't. We all can act, can't we? Just a little bit. You may not be a great Broadway performer, but you and I have learned over the years to act a little bit. Well, you don't have to act because you're not fooling anybody that knows the Bible. You haven't got it all together, and you probably never will. Now, we have the power within us, too, but we also know that we haven't apprehended. Now, Paul has apprehended now. He's apprehended now. Now he is glorified. Now he is perfect. His body's not. His body's buried, rotted somewhere overseas, I suppose, but his soul is in heaven, and one day that body will be raptured just like our bodies will be raptured, and he'll be reunited with that body. That body will be glorified, and Paul no longer sins. His flesh is still corrupt, but his flesh is dead. Well, that'll be glorified one day. Hey, I want you to know that you haven't arrived either. The Apostle Paul was saying, I have not apprehended this. I have not been perfect at the Christian walk. Here is a man of God. Here is a man that God used to at least write 13, possibly 14 different New Testament books under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to realize something even more important than Paul writing this. This wasn't written by Paul. This was written by God. And God is saying, hey, I want you and me to know. I want you all to know. Paul doesn't have this down pat. Because Paul didn't write, I haven't apprehended. The Holy Spirit told Paul, hey, Paul, yeah, I want you to write this down now. Now that you've talked about the spiritual life, write this down. You haven't got it all together either. I haven't got it all together either. See, that wasn't Paul's words. Those are God's words. God is saying, Paul hasn't apprehended this. Neither have you. Now, that's not an excuse. I'm not sitting here trying to give us an excuse. This thing is bothering me to death. This is not an excuse to do wrong. This is not an excuse not to be better. This is not an excuse not to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not an excuse not to be closer to God in 2020 than you were in 2019. But this does give me some great comfort to know that I keep great company in the fact that I haven't apprehended this. Paul, too, struggled with failures and shortcoming. He, too, struggled with the past. And hey, the scriptures have recorded some of the past that Paul had to struggle with. The first deacon, or the first deacon that was ever martyred after the church, was a man by the name of Stephen. Stephen was preaching the word of God, and they stoned Stephen to death. Who was the instigator? The Apostle Paul. He wasn't the Apostle Paul at the time. His name was Saul. The Bible says they laid their coats down at the feet of Saul. Saul was the instigator of this whole horrific scene of Stephen being martyred. Do you think that ever possibly plagued the thoughts of Saul or the Apostle Paul? Could have. Paul realized that he was nothing. And by the way, the Apostle Paul also tells us that he was the chiefest of all sinners. Did you hear that? Now, be careful. Sometimes we take these passages of Scripture and we say, wow, the Apostle Paul is such a humble fella. Here he is, this great man of God, and he's writing down, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Now, sometimes when you and I go around and say, you know, I'm worse off than you are, and in our minds we're not really thinking that, are we? We're just trying to be pious. But the Apostle Paul was not being pious when he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. No, you know who told him that he was the chiefest of sinners? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, now, Paul, I want you to write this down, all right? You are the chiefest of sinners. I am the chiefest of sinners. That was not gloating. That was gut-wrenching. And Paul saying, I haven't apprehended this. Do you realize that Paul was just as much of a human being as you are? If the great Apostle Paul struggled, then you know it's a struggle. And let me tell you something even better than that. This passage of Scripture was written by the Holy Spirit, so God knows you and I are struggling. You and I have not perfected nothing. So I'm appreciative, I appreciate the acknowledgement that none of us have arrived. That gives me great comfort to know that I haven't arrived. And when I look at someone that looks like they have arrived, I know they haven't arrived either. Finally, I want you to see that not only did Paul address the brethren, not only was Paul making an acknowledgement of something, but now I want you to finally see Paul's action. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Wow. I want you to see the focal point of Paul. The focal point is this one thing. That's pretty specific, isn't it? Sometimes I can get distracted about many things. Sometimes I can get distracted. My ADD kicks in, and I'm studying, and my pattern of study is unique. Probably would frustrate anybody else, but my pattern of studying is unique. I'll sit down, and I'll type, and I'll study, and I'll write. I'll get up. I'll walk around the auditorium. I'll go into the room downstairs. I'll look on my phone. I'll go outside. If a squirrel goes by, squirrel, I look at the squirrel. I get that distracted. My mind does do that a lot. I used to think it was a curse. When I was in school, it was a curse because my teachers couldn't keep my attention very long, and I struggled with, but I found out that later on in my life, it turned out to be a blessing. When I was an assistant pastor at Mount Pisgah, for 17 years I was there, and I was the youth pastor, I was the bus director, I was the principal of the school, I was the administrator of the school, I was the Bible teacher, I was the basketball coach, I was the song leader, I was the financial pastor. Did I miss something? Did I say youth pastor? Okay. But that was good for me, because I could just go boop, 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 and I'd never get bored. For some of you, it'd be like, some of you are so focused, you could read a whole book through. Boy, not me. It takes me a decade to read a book sometimes. I just want you to know that Paul was very much on a focal point here. He said, this one thing I do. Sometimes I can get distracted, and it's good to focus. Paul said, I haven't perfected the Christian walk. I haven't mastered anything, but let me tell you what I am doing. Here's his resolve. I may not do many things, but I'm going to tell you this one thing that I'm going to do. Number one, he's going to forget. Now, some of you are like, well, I've got that mastered. I can go into the kitchen. I forget why I came in here. That's not what we're talking about. This focal point of forgetting. He says, I'm going to forget those things which are behind. You know, 2019 is almost behind us. Not a thing you and I can do about yesterday. You can't go back and relive it. You can't undo what has already been done. You can't ask for forgiveness if you've done wrong and move on. Again, life is to be driven out the windshield, not by the rearview mirror. We can take note of our past, but we don't live there. We can learn from our mistakes, but we don't dwell on our failures. That does us no good. So I want you to see that Paul, first of all, had to forget his past failures. We all have had them. Many of us set New Year's goals last year, right? We set New Year Eve goals last year. We had some resolution last year, only to fail in 2 days or 2 months or whatever, but we end up failing at our New Year resolution. I know what some of you negative Nellies are going to say. Well, I'm not going to set a New Year's resolution because I didn't do it last year and I'll fail again this year. And that's exactly right. With that attitude, you will. The attitude of I'll probably fail again is an attitude of fear and not of faith. Just because you didn't succeed last year doesn't mean you won't this year. Maybe it was a diet, keep working. Maybe it was relationship, keep working. Maybe it was your health, keep working. Maybe some of you made spiritual goals. You were going to read your Bible every day and you failed. Keep reading. I'm going to go to church every service, and you didn't. Keep coming. We cannot let our past failures define us. We are not to live there. We are to forget the past failures. Our past failures cannot define our future. And this is just not in the physical realm. This is in the spiritual realm too, because many a time you and I, we set a precedent for ourselves because of habits. I set a New Year's resolution last year to lose weight, and I weigh more this year than I did last year. I might as well not even try next year. I can tell you right now that I'm going to just tell you something. This is going to maybe blow your mind. That's a sin. Maybe not the specific action, but the spiritual condition of your heart. Fear is not of God. He hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't know if God's stirring your heart about losing weight. I don't even care. I'm just telling you that sometimes we cop out because of fear. And that is a trick of the devil. That is a binding of the devil. You and I need to be released from that fear. Released from that fear. You and I need to let that go. Hey, because this just doesn't affect you physically, this will affect you spiritually as well. This will affect you spiritually as well. Because you're seeking after God, you're striving after the things of God, and the next thing you know, you fall flat on your face. This just happened a couple weeks ago. I remember thinking, man, I'm on cloud nine. I don't think I'll ever come down. And then yesterday came, or tomorrow came. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, last night I was on cloud nine. Now I'm in the depths of despair. What is going on with me? Well, I got my focus on the wrong thing. I got my focus on me. And in and of me, I can do nothing. But if I keep my focus on Him, we can do anything through Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I want you to know that sometimes we live in a realm of fear. You know, when I learned this at our revival prep with John Van Gelder, and he said something that changed my thinking. He said, you know, we live in a realm of fear. We're afraid to try because we failed, and that is of the devil. And that is true. Just because you failed yesterday doesn't mean you will fail tomorrow. But the devil wants you to think that. He wants you to think that. So, you know, I understand. There's sermons out there. We shouldn't have resolutions. We should have revolutions or whatever. You know, that's cool. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Whatever. I'm just saying that you and I need to be resolved. We sing about, I am resolved no longer to linger. Charmed by the world's reside. That's a definite decision. Here's what I'm telling you I'm going to do. That's a focal point Paul had. I have a focal point. I am going to forget. What are you going to forget, Paul? I'm going to forget my past failures. And boy, did he have them. Before he was saved, oh my goodness. You know, Paul never glorified in his past life. He never bragged about his past failures. Sometimes we as believers, we like to hear these testimonies, right? Of the guy that had the bad, sordid life. I used to be that way. When I was a teenager, I'd hear preachers get up there, I was lost until I was 40, and I was living in sin. And then he'd go into description of what sins they lived in. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, he was gloriously saved. I don't have a testimony. I used to tell Dad that. My dad said, son, that's stupid. Excuse the French. That's just my dad. My dad said, son, you have the better testimony. Because God didn't save you out of, he saved you from. I want my kids to be saved from alcohol. I want my kids to be saved from pornography. I want my kids to be saved from drugs. I want my kids to be saved from a broken marriage. I want my kids to be saved from depression and despair. I want my kids to be saved from, not out of. I'm thankful that God can save out of. And many of you have a testimony that God saved you out of, and I'm thankful for that. But I want you to know that you don't have to. Teenagers, you don't have to be saved out of. You can be saved from. You can be saved from. But sometimes we really mess up by how we talk. Paul doesn't go around bragging about what he did, how wicked he was. Well, you know, I was the guy that killed Stephen. You know, God saved me, amen. But I just want to tell you the gruesome story behind this. That wasn't Paul. He says, I'm forgetting. You know, I got to be honest with you. It'd be hard. Paul evidently was successful in this. How could Paul wake up every morning and see the face of Stephen, his brother in Christ now, and move on? You say, I don't know how he could. Well, let me ask you this. How can you move forward by living in your past failures too? Here's what you need to do. If you've failed in the past, if you've sinned in the past, you ask God to forgive you. You ask God to forgive you. And then you forgive yourself and move on. If God will forgive you, you should too. Paul said, forgetting those things, that's past failures, but also past victories. Past victories. You know, I'm a West Virginia University fan, and here in a couple hours, we're going to celebrate the victory over Ohio State. But let me tell you something. That's prophecy. We'll edit that out if that doesn't happen. But here's the truth. If West Virginia won a national championship this year, you know what I'd want next year? Another national championship. Isn't it ironic that Alabama is a failure this year because they lost two games? And they only have like 7 gazillion national championships. But it wasn't last year's national championship that matters, or the one they lost. It's this year. And I have realized that past victories will never lead to future victories. They may give you momentum. They may give you a good direction. They may give you a good, strong growth point. But they will not. I tell you right now, if whoever wins the national championship decides that they're satisfied with that national championship, they will not win it next year. I'll guarantee it. They're going to have to work harder next year because now they got a bullseye on their chest. And if they just say, well, we were the national champs last year. We got this. We'll find out if Clemson feels that way or not. We got this. No. You and I, past victories are not deterrent to, or not the focal point of whether we're having future victories. Hey, you may have, 2019, I can say that God has blessed us 2019. I didn't know how 2019 was going to start. I mean, January the 3rd, my uncle at 56 years of age dropped dead of a heart attack. My very first funeral this year was of my uncle Keith. January the 3rd. And I'm sitting there thinking, whew, we just got out of 2016, right? A couple years ago with Dad's passing. And now Keith. And I'm thinking, oh, what does 2019 have for us? But you know what? Just because that happened doesn't mean the rest of the year was bad, because it wasn't. God was good. God's always good. But I mean, the blessings of God on Victory Baptist Church, but I want you to understand that the blessings of 2019 does not mean that we'll have the blessings of 2020 if we're living on the victories of last year. You and I have to forget those things which are behind. We can refer to them. If you forget history, you fail to repeat it, right? We can refer to them, but we can't live there. And the Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. And then he said, I press. Gave it all. Took effort. There's so many different ways that we use the word press. The newspaper is a press, right? The press. What are they doing? They're trying to press you to give information that you don't want to give. They're poking at you, trying to get you to do something you don't want to do. They're going at you full steam. When you press a shirt, you take a hot iron and you put force behind that iron to get those wrinkles out. Basketball press, full court press, somebody's there in your face the whole way trying to distract you and trying to trip you up and trying to disturb you. I mean, the word press gives you an idea of what it is. When you bench press, you take a heavy weight, you lay down and you press, and it's not easy, it's hard. And I want you to know that the Apostle Paul understood what the word press meant, and the word press is difficult. He says, I press. It's not going to be easy, but I am going to do it. I am determined to move forward. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. So I want you to see his action was a focal point, but finally, I want you to see it was a focused point. He was focused on the finish line. I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's God's high calling of Christ Jesus in you? I don't know what it is. For Paul, it was being an apostle to the Gentiles. He says, I press towards the mark. I'm not living there, I'm living here. I press. Are you pressing towards the mark? 2020 is going to bring you a new opportunity. Some of you are like, oh boy, 2020, here we go again. And some of you are like, 2020, here we go. Now, many of us need to press. We need to set goals. Maybe for some it's, I'm going to try and attend one more service a week than I do right now. That's a good New Year's resolution. Some of you, maybe it's, I'm going to read one more verse a week than I do right now. I'm going to give to missions more this year than I did last year. I'm going to hand out one more track a week than I did currently. I'm going to pray 15 more minutes a week this year than I did last year. I don't know what you need to be resolved about. Any and all of these would be good, but I do know that you and I need to be resolved not to live in the past and focus on what God has for us. If you're lost, then get saved. Be a brother or a sister in Christ. Know this. You and I will not be perfect this coming year. Nobody's going to be up here next year and say, well, 2020's passed, and I didn't do one thing wrong. I didn't make one mistake. I have arrived. And if you do, we're all going to laugh at you because we know it's not true. If you're lost, get saved. If you're saved, know that you're not going to be perfect. But within you, if you're saved, you have the one that can help you overcome any addiction, any depression, any hurt you're going through. You also have the Holy Spirit who can direct you and guide you into 2020. Are you saved? Notice the action. Notice his acknowledgement. We can take heed of Paul's resolution.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.